Hey, everyone. It's Dr. Naomi Wolf, and what an honor. I'm here with one of my personal heroes, Dr. James Thorpe. Welcome, Dr. Thorpe.
Thank you, Dr. Wolf. Thank you so much for having me on your platform. It's an honor and a privilege to work with you.
Well, thank you. And Dr. Thorpe is an unbelievably distinguished board-certified obstetrician, gynecologist, and maternal fetal medicine physician. He has over 44 years of obstetrical experience while serving as a very busy clinician his whole career. He has also been very active in clinical research. This just goes to show that the people who are the bravest dissidents are some of the most credentialed. Dr. Thorpe has 224 publications, including 28 on COVID-19. He has seen over 27,500 high-risk pregnancies in the last 4.5 years, served as a reviewer for major medical journals, and also served on the board of directors for the Society of Maternal Fetal Medicine for 3 years. He also served as an examiner for the American Board of OBGYN. He served in the U.S. Air Force, thank you for your service, as an obstetrician gynecologist, having been awarded a health profession scholarship for his medical school education. Dr. Thorpe testified in the U.S. Senate under the Bush administration in 2003 for his expertise in treating the fetus as a patient with in utero therapies. On December 7th, 2022, he testified in the Senate with Senator Ron Johnson and others. Most recently, Dr. Thorpe has focused his research efforts on the COVID-19 pandemic and published over 32 scientific publications and a book documenting the dangers of the vaccine in women of reproductive age and pregnancy. So Dr. Thorpe, you know, in addition to all of your other credentials that I've just shared, there's no way anyone can call you a marginal person in the world of maternal medicine, maternal fetal medicine. You're absolutely central, a peer reviewer. You've overseen thousands of high-risk pregnancies. You've also been way out front. Really, I've got to credit you as the first gynecologist, obstetrician, to raise an alarm about the harms to women and babies from the mRNA vaccines. And you've been relentless. Also, you've been in the news recently for having been punished for your courage and your accuracy. Please share with us what the latest is in relation to that.
Sure. Well, Naomi, honestly, you're one of my heroes. And what I love about you and me and our relationship is that we come from completely separate disciplines, completely separate, you know? And so we're both arriving at the same conclusion. And I think that's powerful. It's very, very powerful. So, you know, what I would say is that, yeah, I was recently fired. And what I wanted to tell you about is that all of your listeners, all of the patients in my prior service area under the Sisters of St. Mary's Health System in one of the largest Catholic health systems in the country. Mm-hmm. And they're based in St. Louis and service areas in five different states. I worked in two different states, Missouri and Illinois, for them. And yes, indeed. What I want to say to the reviewers, your listeners, and also to my former patients is the most important question that you need to ask, and this is for all Americans, this is for all patients globally, the most important question that you need to ask your nurse or your doctor, whether it's in a hospital or in an office, is, nurse, doctor, are you willing to lose your job to save my life? And they have to answer that, because I'm telling you that 95% of the physicians and nurses are captured by their paycheck. Now, what happened at SSM Health? I was a model physician there as described by the CEO that fired me. I got a call from Mr. Kevin Ellidge, CEO at SSM. He wasn't the main CEO. He actually worked between Oklahoma and St. Louis. But he scheduled a call for me, allegedly to just meet me. And I was very suspicious of this. So, of course, I had an attorney, didn't record the conversation because that could be constituted as in a legal gray zone. So I didn't want to do that, but took copious notes. And the conversation was actually on Thursday, June 29th at 1:05 p.m. The conversation lasted 45 minutes. And basically, you know, SSM Health, they were very honorable. They, for 30 minutes, Mr. Ellidge honored me, called me a model physician for the system, didn't quite understand why they were leaving, having to fire me, except they were having financial difficulties. But multiple sources in the system tell me that I was the number one money producer for the system in the department. Also, several have told me that I'm the number one researcher and publisher in the department and have published more than most of the rest of the department combined. Also honored me as being of unparalleled ethical, moral, and intellectual integrity. These are words that he used. And 30 minutes of this, really, they honored me. He said, well, we need to terminate you. And we're invoking the no cause termination, which is in your original contract. So we'll give you 120 days. You can continue work and wind down your practice, but you need to take this large sum of money and sign the documents that I'm going to send you in a little bit. And I didn't even see the documents, but I said, you know, Mr. Ellidge, obviously, I want you to continue your mission. You know, I don't want your money. I don't need your money. So please just keep it and try to make ends meet and try to, you know, take care of my patients as best you can. Well, he got progressively threatened as he kept trying to force me to sign that document, which he hadn't even sent me yet.
Right.
Well, I was very kind and respectful to him and just said, no, I'm not. I don't want your money. I don't need the money. And so he said, well, just look at it. And he said, you have the option of working for another 120 days. That conversation ended on my cell phone at 1:50 p.m. At 1:57 p.m., he sent out an email to the entire system firing me, saying Dr. Thorpe is effective immediately, not seeing patients, which is really a slam. And I think it's very injurious. It's libel, really, because that infers that I'm a horrible person. Mm-hmm. I did something horrible to one of my patients or to one of the staff. And everybody knows that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So we were flabbergasted and I'm locked out of the system. And, you know, that's behind me now. You know that as a woman of faith that, Yahweh closes one door and he's got much bigger plans for you. And indeed, I'm so honored to have accepted a position with a wellness company. And these are my people and my family that are on the same wavelength as you and I, Dr. Naomi. And I'm just honored and blessed. I don't care about what goes on with SSM. I think they're an honorable, I think they mean well, but I think they're captured by the system. And honestly, the people up there love me. And, mm-hmm. and I don't think that it was their decision.
Right.
It's my opinion that somebody came in, I have a hitter from the swamp in DC or mm-hmm. from one of the medical boards or one of the organizations that I've been attacking and said, Thorpe's got to go. He's getting too loud.
Right. Well, let me just let me jump in there or take a moment and reflect on what you just shared. I mean, you're being very taking the high road, giving people the benefit of the doubt. But what I'm hearing is that, and I may be cynical, but I'm hearing that call began in a friendly and flattering way because the goal of the institution was to get you to sign a non-disclosure agreement, which yep. I'm guessing is the unseen document that they never even bothered to send you because you said you wouldn't accept it.
They actually ended up sending it to me, but not till after the phone call. And it's exactly as you said, there was a very, very strict, I had my wife's an attorney, Maggie looked at it and she's never seen such an extensive NDA. It went not only to the effect of non-disparagement, but I would have been responsible for any other independent source like you or somebody on Twitter that was disparaging them for what they did and held me responsible for that.
Wow. So thank God for Maggie Thorpe. And that's really notable. And I bet if you've got a document like that sent to you, there are other doctors or dissidents. I mean, this is just one more piece in the puzzle of trying to criminalize the speech of people like you and people like me, or to, you know, entangle us in legal lawfare, basically, if we tell people the truth. So that's very concerning. And the other piece of this story that I find super concerning is that they were trying to buy your silence. That's how I hear this this offer. And you didn't bite, thank God. And then the last thing I would say is, you know, you don't have to disparage your former employers, but I will, because as a woman and as a mom, I'm just thinking of all of the women who were your patients who, you know, suddenly got an email saying their doctor is gone, or who were informed by whoever took your place that their doctor is gone. And I don't know if, you know, you had patients in active treatment with you, but that would be incredibly concerning to be a patient getting that information. And, you know, if you have any patients who are pregnant, it would be incredibly concerning to be kind of left in the middle of your pregnancy without an obstetrician. And lastly, I do agree with you that it's libelous or defamatory that this email went out, because it does appear to smear your reputation. So I'm so glad you're married to a lawyer, and I hope she goes after them, because this is a disgusting story. And yet another story. I mean, Dr. McCullough, you know, has had faced hostility and hostile legal action from Baylor University. You faced hostility and hostile legal action from your former employer. You know, so many of the dissident doctors who told the truth and saved lives are being forced to pay the price. One of our volunteers in the Pfizer documents volunteers team has been threatened with being de-licensed, you know, in Australia, and it goes on and on and on. So thank you for sharing that story. I'm so sorry that happened to you, but I'm even sorrier for your patients. It's a disgusting way to treat them. And I think your former employer should be ashamed of themselves.
You know, I want to bring up, Dr. Rennie Moon too. And Renata Moon was employed and she was just fired too. And again, I want to say that Dr. Renata Moon was employed by the University of Washington State School of Medicine, and she had an appointment and a very valuable employer. Now, what they did to her was worse. And what they did with, they smeared her and drummed up false, totally fraudulent allegations and fired her for cause.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, this is just, and many, most of the hospitals are doing that. So, you know, I understand the system. I understand the Sisters of St. Mary's Health. I understand they tried to honor me. They could have smeared me and fired me with fake charges like they did, which I believe that they did to Dr. Rennie Moon, whom you know is an incredible pediatrician and has testified in the Senate with me and with Dr. McCullough and many others, and has a very prominent voice. Listen, pediatrics and obstetrics and gynecology are the most captured, brainwashed, targeted groups of all of medicine.
Wow. I hear you. I as a bystander, I don't think any truth-telling doctor should have to be grateful that they weren't, you know, falsely accused and charged with, you know, things they didn't do. But I hear what you're saying, and other physicians who've been dismissed and drummed out have fared worse. I do understand. Now, let me go to why you're such a threat. And I think you've been a threat for a long time. You were early on confirming, you know, what we were also finding at the same time, which was damage to women's reproductive systems, reproductive cycles, and damage to babies in utero, damage to the placenta via the mRNA injections. Do you mind recapping for people who haven't followed your work so closely what some of the issues are that you found? And notably, I want you to talk about the compromised placentas, the calcified placentas that you were seeing. Lastly, I'd like you to update us You know, last time we talked about this was about 6 months ago. Is there anything new or different in the kinds of pregnancies, presentations, babies, placentas, you know, fetal, death of mother in childbirth, which is up 40% that you've seen?
Sure. And I want to start out by saying, again, reiterating that, you know, Dr. Naomi Wolf, from a completely different discipline and completely different sector, and then you got many of us with such divergent backgrounds. You know, you look at Mr. Edward Dowd, whom I think that you've interviewed. He has no affiliation with me or with you. And there's countless other sectors that are finding the exact same disasters after the rollout of the vaccine. Then the second thing I'd like to say with regard to what Maggie and I have procured over the last year is what I've now, well, first of all, that you're absolutely right, Naomi, and all the attacks, the vicious attacks on you personally, your reputation, your brilliance, your all the work that you've done is, you know, you've been attacked, I think, just as much or more than I have, and that's outrageous.
And thank you.
What they're doing, you're 100% absolutely right. This entire vaccine went after women. It went after women's health for two reasons, Naomi. Number one, I know and you know, and every man and woman that's in medicine knows, women make all the healthcare decisions for all members of the family. That's a marketing, that's known to be true. Number two, so that if they could capture the American College of OBGYN and the 60,000 OBs, and then they got all the women captured. But the second issue is even, you know, really more ominous. If they can fraudulently, and make no doubt about it, this was fraud. This was conspiracy. This was collusion. This was a RICO violation. It absolutely for certain it was. And the reason why they targeted women, the second reason is this, Naomi. Mm-hmm. If they can prove that the vaccine is safe, effective, and necessary in the most vulnerable population, which is pregnant women, preborns, and newborns by vertical transmission, then every other human being on earth needs to be vaccinated. For those two reasons, that's why women were targeted. Number one, they make the healthcare decisions. Number two, if we can convince the world that it's safe, effective, and necessary in pregnancy, they've won the entire game for the entire vaccinating the entire human population on the planet. And that's what they did. Yeah. So the other really important thing that we found, and I think we've talked about, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but Maggie and I, mostly Maggie, is an attorney, and she's an incredible investigator attorney, has really a keen eye for sniffing out fraud in larger corporations, which she's done in the insurance industry successfully. Mm-hmm. So we launched a FOIA. We strongly suspected that this vaccine, just like I got done saying, was a fait accompli. It was pre-planned. It was always pre-planned. Prior to 2020, it was pre-planned to target women. And we proved that. We submitted a airtight FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, to the Department of HHS, the CDC, and the American College of OBGYN. And wouldn't you know it, ACOG, the American College of OBGYN, they allege themselves to be the preeminent organization for women in the world. Nothing could be more than opposite of the truth. Mm-hmm. So what they did was in early 2020, after bearing the Pfizer 5.3.6, which you and I have both published on totally independent. We didn't collude. We're looking at totally separate databases. We arrive at the exact same conclusion. In February 28th, 2021, the Pfizer 5.3.6 post-marketing data was public, was available in the company. It was devastating. It was proven to be, according to Pfizer, the deadliest drug ever rolled out to the human public, ever. I've been saying that, and for 2.5 years, not one person has challenged me. So you know that, and I know that. 1,223 dead within 10 weeks, and then horrible obstetrical data. So Mark Weber, Assistant Secretary, Deputy Secretary of the Department of HHS, and he brags about this. He brags about it. He hid that, tried to hide that data for 75 years, the damning data, and what did he do? Rolled out a $13 billion PSYOPs campaign to the entire United States of America, about 300 major organizations and influencers, including synagogues and churches, and many others, to convince the United States and the entire world that this deadly shot was safe, effective, and necessary in the most vulnerable population, pregnant women. And so they rolled that $13 billion out while suppressing the damning data from Pfizer. And those who were founding members, like the American College of OBGYN, they signed a contract, Naomi, and we have it. We've proven that. 1,400 pages, they redacted over 50%, but they entered into a contract that I have termed, you know, being a student of scripture and a student of the prophetic end times. I went back to look at Isaiah chapter 28. And right out of Isaiah chapter 28, verses 15 to 18, I've always been mesmerized by what is the covenant with death in the end time in your scripture and my scripture. And that always stuck out to me. And so I have termed this the covenant with death. Now, I don't think it's the ultimate fulfillment, but I think it's a partial fulfillment. And I have started a Substack, and I have a 5-part series on this covenant of death between HHS, CDC, and the American College of OBGYN, and probably all the other 300 influencers. What's in this covenant of death? This is hideous. This is horrifying. This is exactly what you have seen, Naomi, Dr. Naomi, and what I've seen and what we know to be true. If they're not, they took millions, well over $11 million. They signed the covenant with death, and they're not allowed to deviate not one iota from the lethal narrative of HHS, CDC, and our government. And if they do, they will be liable for paying back every single penny, which they've already pocketed. So to this very day, that's why the American College of OBGYN, the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, and the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine, these are the evil organizations that perpetrated this crime on the world. And I will not back down from attacking them, because we have the proof. And guess what? I've been saying this for over a year. And if that were not true, I'd be involved with multiple lawsuits. It's true, and they know it, and they won't debate me.
Let me go back to what you just said, because it is mind-blowing. And if I understood it correctly, it's a huge story. And it's a story that needs a lot more attention than it's gotten. If I understood you correctly, you and your wife submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to HHS, and you have, as a result, secured a lengthy contract between HHS and 300 influencers, including the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology. Do I have those facts correct?
Not quite, almost. It's we have not proven that all of the other 300 influencers signed the identical contract, but I think they have. And it is indeed, we have 1,400 pages of communications between the federal government and a private NGO, the American College of OBGYN, that oversees over 60,000 obstetrician gynecologists on two different continents, Dr. Naomi.
All right, so let me let me pause. And this is so important. This is a huge story. So how do you know there are 300 influencers that HHS has also funded? Are they mentioned in this communication?
Yes, we have. Yeah, they're all mentioned, and that's well known. Deputy Secretary, Assistant Deputy Secretary Mark Weber of HHS was very proud of this newly endowed COVID-19 Community Corps, CCC.
Right. I'm aware that influences were funded, but it sounds like you and your wife got the receipts in certain ways, and these emails are unbelievably important. Now, you are also saying that $11 million went from the federal government, from HHS, to this third-party nonprofit, which oversees
NGO. It's for-profit. It's for-profit.
It's a for-profit non-government organization, which oversees tens and tens of thousands of obstetricians and gynecologists on two continents. Do I have that correct?
That's correct.
That if they don't stick to HHS's script about the vaccine, they have to pay back the money that they took. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. And I just one addendum. It's HHS and CDC with the two.
Whoa. So that's very important and fills in a piece of the puzzle, because our volunteers found that a damning report, I mean, a terrifying report, went on April 10th, 2021, showing damage in utero from transplacental exposure to the vaccine, Pfizer's words, including death, that this report, and also convulsions and fevers and swelling of babies nursing vaccinated moms, this report went to CDC, and on April 13th, 3 days later, Dr. Walensky gave a White House press conference telling the women of America, especially if they were pregnant, that they should take the vaccine, that it was safe and effective, that there was no bad time before you have your baby, during your pregnancy, after having your baby, no bad time to take the vaccine. So CDC was paying obstetricians to echo this script, knowing that this injection was killing babies and poisoning them through breast milk. Is that the bottom line?
That's absolutely 100%. We've arrived at the identical conclusions. And, you know, Maggie and I have published extensively on America Out Loud. And if you go to that platform, I think there's a dozen articles, and they're all brief articles, and they're extraordinarily well referenced. We have everything that you said is 100% true, and everything that you found from your side that I wasn't aware of is absolutely 100% true, because we've documented it all. We have clips. We have interviews. We have the Walensky interview. We have the, if you will, the floating lie that was put out by the powers that be in our government and the American College of OBGYN, starting out in late 2020, it's never going to be mandated pregnancy. And then it slowly morphs from that into that April 2021 interview where it says, okay, it is now indicated and we're mandating it. And then later on the year, we have the entire timeline down. And, by July, ACOG, ABOG, SMFM said, yes, we're strongly recommending it. No, Dad.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, you know, I will move heaven and earth to get proper media attention on this story that you and Maggie Thorpe have broken. This is unbelievably important. And let me just play this out to the end. This means that to this day, when a pregnant woman asks her provider, her obstetrician, her gynecologist, do you recommend that I take this vaccine or not? That doctor has to say, yes, it is recommended. Yes, ACOG recommends it, or else they are in violation in some way of some contractual commitment that ACOG has made, and they have to pay back money or be penalized in some way. Is that
your question? That's exactly right. And the system will work earnestly to fire that physician if they perpetrate that truth.
So I ran into a pediatrician in Oregon during a CHD event, and she was being threatened with losing her license because she gave her patients informed consent and told them the risks and the benefits, mostly the risks of this injection. So you're saying that obstetricians and gynecologists to this day, at least in the United States, cannot give their pregnant patients informed consent about what we now know to be the real significant risks of taking this mRNA injection during pregnancy. Is that correct?
They can't. Absolutely 100% correct. And just think about it. The Mark Weber infiltrated the personal, most personal relationships that a woman has. Can you imagine a woman going into the examination room, the most important part of her life? She conceives, she's pregnant. She's believing that in this relationship, she trusts her physician, her obstetrician, be it male or female. There's a very, very important trust. Mark Weber, the HHS, perpetrated, egregiously violated that in the most sensitive exam ever in a woman's life. Think about it. It's horrible. It's horrendous. It's hideous. It's obscene.
To this day. So theoretically, even though people are fleeing the mRNA injection, we now know from the Q1 and Q2 economic reports of both Pfizer and Moderna, pregnant women to this day probably are being urged to take the mRNA vaccine that everyone else is racing away from. And they're probably doing it because they trust their obstetricians and their gynecologists.
Yes.
Terrific. So now in the last few minutes we have, this is the biggest story ever. I cannot wait to link to your articles on America Out Loud and hopefully also the tranche of emails. Have you guys published those or uploaded them? And if not, can we publish them? Do you have them?
We don't have the emails. We have all the documents. Maggie's got all the documents. And as you know, now the 1,400 pages, there's over 50% were redacted. Yeah. But the 50% that were not redacted are extraordinarily concerning.
Please let us link to them or publish them. I mean, we need to bring every woman's attention to this story, that every woman in America and in all those other countries where this is happening is in a state of acute jeopardy as a result of what you and Mrs. Thorpe have found. Now let's go to what, just touch briefly on what you know to be the danger and damage to pregnant women. And again, the calcified placentas, the premature babies, the malformations. Can you recap quickly so that—
Yeah, real quickly. So
going on.
What I've seen in my clinical experience, my vast clinical experience is, let's start in women of reproductive age, massive disruption of abnormal menstruation patterns, which you well know. And that did not occur until after the rollout of the vaccine. Marked increase in infertility, male and female. If they do conceive, then there's a substantial risk of miscarriage. And I stand by what we have interpreted and what I have published. There's an 81% risk of miscarriage from Pfizer's own data and from the fraudulent article from the fraudulent New England Journal of Medicine that pushed the fraudulent narrative of safe, effective, and necessary in pregnancy in May of 2021 showed the exact same thing, an 82% miscarriage rate. They fraudulently manipulated the data. So yes, there's a massive increase in miscarriage, an increase in malformations of all organ systems, a substantial increase in fetal death, substantial increase in severe early onset preeclampsia, preterm premature rupture of membrane, spontaneous preterm labor, indicated preterm delivery due to vaccine complications and potential trying to prevent a death in utero, cardiac anomalies, cardiac malformations, early death of the fetus, also premature delivery and death of the newborns, massive increase in newborns going to the neonatal intensive care unit, substantial abnormalities of the placenta. And in my recent Substack, you know, the courage is courageous. The truth is contagious. And I have an experienced MFM sonographer, that's what she calls herself, corroborating everything that I've observed. And I was so excited to see her come out, and she's going to be featured in more Substacks in the future.
good. Wow. Stunning, terrifying. And again, Dr. Thorpe is, you know, in his interpretation of over 80% spontaneous abortions and miscarriages in Pfizer documents is, you know, independently finding what our team as well found, over 80% spontaneous abortions and miscarriages in the Pfizer documents, and his description of especially compromised placentas, stillbirths, premature labor, babies with malformations is independently confirming. And I stress this as a journalist, because when you get in people from different backgrounds independently bearing witness to the same phenomenon, it is real, according to classical journalism. Our two midwives whom we interviewed also are independently confirming what Dr. Thorpe and his sonographer are finding.
I do want to qualify that, Dr. Naomi, and here's some of the confusion with the other researchers and the other reporters that don't have your intimate knowledge. And that is, we qualify that by, if you look at the vaccination in the first trimester, there's no doubt that it's an 80% miscarriage rate. And where Shima Bakuro in the New England Journal of Medicine cheated and fraudulently pushed it as safe was they took 700 patients that got the vaccine way late in pregnancy and shape-shifted, fraudulently put them in the denominator of the first trimester, thus diluting the real miscarriage rate from 82% down to 12 or 13%.
And let me just chime in and remind everyone that high miscarriage rates are normal, not that high in the first trimester, but it's very rare and vanishingly rare in the second and third trimester.
That's right.
Spontaneous abortion or a miscarriage.
And I'll add one more thing to that. This, everybody should have known. I knew before the vaccine ever rolled out that it was going to be damaging. And that's because it is a precept, a proven principle of obstetrics and gynecology and maternal fetal medicine, published by the world expert Roberto Romero, who's published extensively, 10 years my senior, on the horrible adverse effects of inflammation on pregnancy. Mm-hmm. It's
right.
Devastating. So that's known. Every OBGYN has had that drummed into their teachings for the last several decades. Yeah. So of course it's going to cause damage and miscarriage and malformations and chromosome malformations. Mm-hmm. It's proven. It's the most inflammatory substance ever used in a human being.
Right. So I will note, and then we'll wrap up, that it's been known for 10 years at least that lipid nanoparticles biodistribute to every organ in the human body and that they disrupt human reproductive capacity. So someday I hope that the people who formulated this injection with lipid nanoparticles will answer before Congress, if not before a jury of their peers, the question, why did you put this in this injection if you knew it would destroy human reproductive capacity? This is a big question because these are known inflammatories and known disruptors of human reproductive capabilities. Dr. Thorpe, thank God for you and your, you know, few but brave colleagues who care enough about women and babies to save lives by telling the truth. Where can people find your work and how can they follow you, having joined our wonderful sponsor, The Wellness Company?
The Wellness Company I can be found through them. I can also be found through my new Substack, which is available. And we've now had three or four of them. And I'm going to put out one every other day, every third day. Very important information. Please follow it. And then, of course, you can go to Google Scholar and just put Thorpe, J-A, and there's numerous recent publications in there. And then, of course, on Twitter, at James A. Thorpe, MFM, I believe, or James A. Thorpe, MD. I'm on Twitter with a large following there, and I publish everything on Twitter as well. And I just want to say, Dr. Naomi, you're an incredibly brave and brilliant independent researcher. And God bless you for marching on despite the horrible, obnoxious, totally unacceptable attacks that you've had on you. Do not back down, sister.
Thank you.
Keep going on.
Thank you. Well, we're all brothers and sisters in arms now, peacefully put. And it's I'm so delighted that you've joined this historic group of heroes at the Wellness Company. They choose their pantheon very well. And, you know, this is super depressing to hear that an entire industry has abandoned women and babies. But thank goodness for the people who still care about them. And everyone, go sign up, support Dr. Thorpe's Substack. Go to twc.health.org. Look up the Wellness Company. Follow them. It's life-saving information. And you can find us on dailycloud.io. Thank you so much, Dr. Thorpe. Thank your intrepid wife. And I'm so glad to have this critical conversation with you. We will keep shining a light on your work. Thank you. Bye-bye.